At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. We've been reporting on the Austin bombings throughout the day. Among the latest developments, Austin police have reopened some streets after putting a neighborhood where the latest explosion occurred on a total lockdown overnight. But much of the area, known as Travis Country, remains closed to all but some residents, and the vicinity around the blast remained cordoned off. Four blasts have hit Austin in less than 3 weeks, killing two people and wounding four others. Governor Greg Abbott has announced he's releasing $265,000 in state funds to Austin police and state authorities investigating all four bombings. The Richardson School District announced today it's launching a plan aimed at improving four of its struggling elementary schools. It joins other districts, including Dallas and Fort Worth, that are pouring more resources into campuses where students are underperforming. As KEI's Stella Chavez reports, the district has high hopes that its investment will pay off.
Justin Bono is the president of the Richardson School Board, and he says for the past couple of decades, the district has tried to close the achievement gap between the lowest and highest performing students.
Superintendents and boards have tried countless programs over that time to close the gap for our kids. Yet the gap persists to this day without substantial movement.
Bono and others say this new effort will be different. The district is focusing on four elementary schools: Carolyn Bouquer Elementary, Forest Lane Academy, RISD Academy, and Thurgood Marshall Elementary. Some of them have received the lowest rating, improvement required, from the Texas Education Agency. Richardson district officials plan to extend the school day, require students to wear uniforms, and add before and after school programs. They'll also recruit and hire some of the district's highest performing principals and teachers. Teachers will get an annual $10,000 stipend to work in these schools. The program, called Accelerating Campus Excellence, or ACE, is estimated to cost about $3 million. Richardson district officials point to Dallas ISD as an example of a district that's had success with ACE. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings touted the program's accomplishments.
ACE campuses in Dallas ISD have been successful. We're proud of what's happening at Dallas ISD as well. This type of growth cannot be ignored. It's the proof that this strategy is working and that you're on the right track.
In Dallas, the ACE program is in its third year. Some of the district's seven ACE campuses have gone from the lowest rating of improvement required to met standard. Edison Middle School, however, is the exception. Its rating did not go up, and the Dallas School Board recently voted to close it. Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath was on hand for the Richardson ISD announcement. He says there isn't one solution to improve struggling schools, but he believes in the ACE program.
It takes dedicated adults who love children, who are skilled professionals, investing a lot of time and energy to get better each week in and out. And I think that what you see in Richardson is an example of them making a very strategic choice to try to change the systemic factors around the school, in support of kids.
Richardson ISD will implement the ACE program this summer. It'll hire staff and acknowledges concerns about taking too many teachers from other campuses. It'll place caps on how many teachers are recruited from those schools. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
We've all made mistakes. It's part of being human. It's also usually a good idea to apologize for those mistakes. We've seen an avalanche of apologies and pseudo-apologies in the last few months. Think Harvey Weinstein or Al Franken, or closer to home, Congressman Joe Barton. SMU professor John Potter is an expert in dispute resolution, and he explained to me what makes an effective apology.
The best way to think about apology, and the thing that I work with clients the most on, is the difference between expectation. So for most people, when they apologize, they're apologizing for themselves, saying what they want to say. The key to an effective apology is saying what the person you're apologizing to needs to hear. Very different perspective.
What do you think makes for a bad apology?
The easiest way to talk about a bad apology is to go back to this idea that the apology is what the person needs to hear. And that disconnect between what I need to hear and what you want to say makes an apology ineffective. In fact, we humans are so good at this that even if we don't know all the social science and the underpinnings and all the different words that go into this kind of effort, we're pretty sensitive to something when it doesn't sound right. And we just turn away from that person, when in fact what that person really wants more than anything else is to be engaged, to be connected to the person they're expressing regret to. So the relationship improves. It's really, really easy to use an apology the wrong way and make things worse.
You recently did an interview about a situation in Nashville involving the former mayor, Megan Barry. She recently resigned after admitting to an affair with the head of her security detail. She issued an apology, and I'm wondering, how do you feel about her apology? Was it appropriate?
In my interview, I talked about a phrase that she used in her apology where she said, "God will forgive me." The problem with doing that in an apology is that you're presuming that someone else or God will approve of something that you've done. That's not the best way to do this. The best way to do this is to be completely responsible for your own actions, period. You don't try to push it off on anyone else. You don't try to persuade people that, you know, somebody's going to forgive you or protect you. You made a mistake.
How has social media affected the apology? Is an apology any less sincere or effective even if it's via Twitter or some other online platform?
Social media changes everything when it comes to apology. Imagine I write a book, it goes on a library shelf, and 100 years from now, someone can find that book and read what I said. On the internet and in social media, that apology lasts forever and ever and ever. If you don't get the words in order correctly, if your words are not clear, if you're ambiguous, then you have set yourself so far back you can't recover. Clarity in a social media apology is paramount.
When should you make a face-to-face apology?
You should make a face-to-face apology when the relationship matters to you. If you're my friend, and we've been friends most of our lifetime, and I've done something harmful to you, this is not the time to send a text message. On the other hand, if we happen to work in the same building and I parked in your parking place and you're mad at me, okay, a text message apology is just fine.
I remember a few years ago, Jennifer Lawrence, during the filming of The Hunger Games, said on Twitter that she used some sacred Hawaiian rocks to scratch an itch. Later, she used this phrase, "I apologize if I offended anyone." So many people use that phrase, but it's not really an apology, is it?
Not only is it not an apology, it's foolish. The point of the apology is for me to talk about what I have done, not how you feel about what I've done. It makes no sense at all. The thing for her to have said was, "I am sorry, I made a mistake."
Are there cultural differences in what makes an appropriate apology?
There are cultural differences. If I'm creating, writing, coaching someone on an apology in a different culture, I'll try to find an advocate in that culture to work with me so I can go back and forth with that person and make sure the context is correct, make sure the tone is correct, and that it's more effective.
John Potter is a professor in dispute resolution and conflict management at SMU. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mostly clear skies in store for us this evening. Should be a low around 45 later tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with high in the upper 60s. It's currently 66 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 63 in Tyler, and 62 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KERA News.